that's exciting as well. All right. We saw Daf Yates yesterday. Today is Daf Chaf. All right, Daf Chaf says the Gemara. What it says that it has to be, it's usser, and this is very, very practical, to put something on the stove or in the oven, Erev Shabbos, unless it is fully cooked. Unless it is fully cooked. Unless it is cooked, I should say. Unless it is cooked before Shabbos. And the question is going to be, exactly how cooked is cooked? Exactly how cooked does cooked have to be? That's going to be the Gemara's question. Vakama. How, second line, Vakama, how cooked does cooked have to be? We already saw on Daf, Yud Ches Amud Beis, several heterim for this. For example, if it's raw meat, like Michael mentioned, and several other heterim. But the vibe of the Gemara is going on the standard is, so you're putting up a chalent, the oven is not sealed or locked, it's regular meat, it's a regular chalent, and you put it up 20 minutes before Shabbos, that's usser. How much before Shabbos must you put it up? You must put it up on Erev Shabbos, the amount of that it would be able to cook for the kemacha ben drusai. Kemacha ben drusai literally is the amount of cooking that a person named drusai, or actually ben drusai, so his son, would eat his meat at. Now this guy drusai was, or actually drusai's son again, was a robber. And he would go ahead, and because he was always on the run, he would eat his meat or food when it was cooked, not when it was not fully cooked. So this machlekes exactly in the Rishayim. Do we mean one third cooked, or does it mean half cooked? L'chadchila, we're always makbid on half cooked, and b'di'evid, we always allow it to be up to one third cooked. So so that's the Gemara says that when that's the stage of the earliest time that the meat is ready. When you go into a restaurant and you ask for meat, they give you several choices. They give you super done and well done and rare, and then they have this black and blue. So what is the earliest time that they will give you the meat out? So ben drusai is the earliest time that they would give you the meat out. That's the earliest time that it's edible at all. And like I said, it's machlekes if it's one third or one half of the cooking. How do we measure one third or one half of, say, a chalent? So Urchazanish explains that if it takes 6 hours to normally cook, then you just do it by time. There's no real way of opening up the meat and determining whether it's one third of the way there. You go based on the general amount of time that it usually takes. Itmar Nami was stated like this as well. Once it is cooked, if a Jew cooks the meat one third of the way there, and then it's the guy is the one who finishes off the cooking, so there is no problem of machal. There's no problem of bishul akum. Not to say that the Jew has to cook the entire thing. For example, we paskin nowadays that you just need to turn on the fire, but then we view the entire cooking as the Jew did it. That's the vart. However, we're talking about a case where a Jew turned on the fire. It cooked up to one third of the way there, and then it stopped cooking. You took it off the fire. Then the guy puts it back on the fire. Then we will have a problem of bishul akum unless it has been cooked one third of the way there. And here we are definitely makel up to one third. Tanya Chananya, Emer Chananya says, Kol shehu kamachal ben drusoi, mutu lahash oisoi, it is permitted to keep it on the flame, agabe kira, on top of an oven, v'av al pi she'ein grufa uktuma, even if there is no blech. That's like we're saying right now, that you're allowed to keep it on the fire. The next in, ein noisten es hapas, one is not allowed to put bread on the fire unless it is cooked, unless it has, the Mishnah's expression was, unless it's actually yikrumu ponea, which means until its face gets crusty. And the way they used to do it was they used to take this dough, slap it onto the side of a wall, and then the bread would bake like that. So the Gemara wants to know, when we say that till the side gets crusty, do we mean the side touching the wall? Do that, the side that's touching the wall of the oven, or do we mean the side that's facing the fire? So ibaylehu tachten. When we say tachten, heich de'gabe tanor, is it the side that is touching the actual wall? Adama tachten heich de'gabe ha'or, or is it the side that is facing the fire? Tashemar, Rabbi Elazar Amar k'deish yikrim upanei ha'medubakim betanor. Rabbi Eliezer says that you need it in order to get in order to crust up the side that is facing the actual tanner. So we see from here that if Rabbi Lazar is coming along to say that the side of the tanner, that obviously means he's coming to argue on the Tanakama. So to argue on the Tanakama, Rabbi Lazar is the one in the Mishnah who said Kadesh Yikumu Hatachtin. And in a Braisa, it says Kadesh Yikumu, the one that is on the side of the Tanner. And therefore, if Rabbi Lazar is the one who said on the side of the Tachtin in the Mishnah, and in a Braisa he clarifies himself, or he speaks out in a different expression, he says the side of the Tanner, so we know that when it says Tachtin, it means the side of the Tanner, the one that's facing the wall. The next thing is Mishal Shalanas HaPesach, which means that we allow you to roast, even though we just told you that you can't put up a chalent 20 minutes before Shabbos until it's cooked at least one-third. But by the Karban Pesach, we will allow you to cook, hopefully this year. We will allow you, actually this year it's not going to be an okeya, because this year Erev Pesach does not fall out on Erev Shabbos, and you're allowed to cook on Pesach. But if it was Erev Shabbos, then we would allow you to cook even 20 minutes before Shabbos. We would allow you to put it in the fire even 20 minutes before Shabbos. My taima, mishum debnei chaburah's reasoning, because the people who are involved in the cooking of the karbanos, when you're involved in cooking a karban and you're at the base of mikdash and there's all matzav going on, you're going to be careful. You're going to be zrizin. You're going to be careful. Says the Gemara, halav hachi loy. But are you telling me that if it wasn't for that heter, then it would be usser? If it wasn't for the heter that people doing karbanos are careful, then it would be usser. But didn't you tell me before on your chesem beis that gadya bein srik bein loy srik ishapadami? We finished the sugya over there that if the meat in question was meat that would be delicate meat that would be damaged by the air or damaged by the stoking of the coals underneath it, then it would be prohibited. Then it would be mutter if it was a delicate meat, because you're not going to stoke it. So over here, the Karban Pesach is made out of a delicate meat. It's a goat. So what are we concerned for? I thought you told me that such meat is not a problem. And the Gemara says, Hasam, in the case of the Gemara before, it was mintach. It was cut up pieces of meat. And therefore, it is mutter. However, because it will be damaged. But over here, a whole goat is not going to be, hacha is loy mintach, it is not cut up, and therefore a whole goat is not going to be damaged by a little stoking or opening the fire. Says,
this, according to Shammai, who does not allow shvitzas kelim?
So it would have to be over, the Gemara asked this, and the Gemara said that you'll have to be mafker your oven.
So, but even in the base of Mikdash, I guess it wasn't in the base of Mikdash.
It was done. Not everybody lived in Yerushalayim. I mean, they had areas where people roasted it. So they had areas in the Har Bayis. Yeah.
Okay.
U'ma'achizin esha'or. They used to go ahead and light up the fire in the base of Mikdash, because this is the heating system back then, and so the halacha was that you are able to light up the fire in the place of the city of the, it was called the Beis Hamoiked. They were allowed to have a fire there, and the Gemara says that Minohani Mile. What's the pshat? How do we know that it's mutter to light up a fire in the Beis Hamikdash? Amar Rav Huna, because it says Lo Yisavaru Eish B'chol Moish Veisech. It was actually a couple weeks ago's parsha. You're not allowed to light up the fire in your house. Bechol moish veisechem, in your dwelling places, I atamaver, you can't light up a fire. Aval atamaver b'maduras beis hamoiked, but you could light it up in the beis hamikdash. Now, it's very interesting because that pasuk is talking about the ikar lighting of the fire. Maskevler Rav Chista, if that's so, frak the Gemara, Ihachi, afilu b'shabbos nami. That pasuk is saying you can't light a fire. Says the Gemara, if it's saying that you can't light a fire, and it's the diuk is that you can't light a fire in your house, so then you should be able to light a fire in Masha Inkin, the basic mikdash, you could. So why are you saying that it's only mutter on Erev Shabbos, right before Shabbos? It should be mutter on Shabbos itself to light the fire, if that's your diuk. El Amar Rav Chista, rather Rav Chista says, Kra ki asa lemishra evarma pedarmu da asa. That pasuk is to be mater the burning of the pieces of carbon in the base of Mikdash. That's what that pasuk is coming to be mater. It's saying, in your own house, you can't light a fire. But in the base of Mikdash, on the Mizbeach, you may. So what's the question? So back to our question, how come it's mutter 5 minutes before Shabbos to light up the fire in the base of Mikdash, if you see that it needs it? How come it's mutter? We say that it's only mutter to light up a fire if most of the fire is going to be lit on Erev Shabbos. The answer is, so why are we being makeh by Kohanim? Teretz says, but Kohanim's reason, Hain. The reason why it's mutter in the base of Mikdash is because Kohanim are careful. We're not concerned that they will be violating Shabbos. Okay. Says the Gemara, ubegvulin kidei shetechos. In your own house, it is prohibited to light a log on fire in the fireplace, unless it is most of the log is already burning. So as the Gemara, my Ruben, what does it mean most of the log is already burning? Amar Rav said, roiv kol echad echad. If you have a fireplace and there's five logs in there, there's got to be a roiv of each log, not a roiv of the logs in the base in the fireplace. On each log, you have to have a majority already burning in order to allow you to light a fire on Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos. You don't have to have roiv of each log. Rather, in the fireplace, if there's already a nice fire going, that you're not going to have to say, bring some more tinder and bring some more stuff to light the rest on fire, then you're already good. Tani Rabbi Chiel is Siyur El Shmuel. Rabbi Chiel had a brisa to help Shmuel out, to support Shmuel. Kidei shetehei shal heves oila me'aleha. Enough wood is burning that the flame will now catch by itself. V'lo shetehei shal heves oila alidei davar akar. And not that it will have to burn, and not that you will need other tinder to go ahead and burn it. Says the Gemara, Eitz Yechidi. What happens if you have a single log? How much is that? Rav Amar Rav Oivyei. It's got to be the most of the thickness is caught on fire already. Va'amrila, and some say bereva kefai. Not most of the thickness, but most of the circumference, which is probably more of a heter.
What does it mean, the thickness versus the circumference?
The thickness means that the log has to be deeply on fire. In other words, you could have a log that's very fat, and the log itself, the outer part might be on fire, but the inner part, all the way going in, that the log is not on fire. You pat it down, and it's not on fire. However, if the log, the depth is already burning, the heat is penetrating, and the fire is coming from the circumference, from the depth of it, then it's a much deeper fire.
So this rove thickness means that the fire is already eaten into?
Yes.
The log?
Yes, right.
And now... And the majority of the log's inner surface is exposed?
Yeah. I don't know, exposed, but it's hot enough to produce its fire, I'm saying. It's on fire.
Okay, whereas the rove of the circumference means that the flames are merely touching the outer surface?
Yeah, a rove of the outer surface.
Okay.
Amar Rav Papa, Hilkach beinan roiv ovya uberinan roiv kefei. Since there's a machlikas, what Rav actually said, we have to be makbid on both. Says the Gemara Ketanoi, it's actually a machlikas tanoim. Rabbi Chiya, Amar Rabbi Chiya says, Kedei she yishoche, so eitz mimelecha sa'uman. It's got to be burnt enough that the wood is now ruined, not able to be used by a professional anymore, by a carpenter anymore. The wood is ruined. And that would mean that the fire has extended and extended into the depths of the wood. And Rabbi Huda ben Beseira Emer Kadesh Te'oiches Ha'esh Mishneitz Dadav. That it's talking about where it's just on the circumference of it. It's caught on the circumference of it. Alva Bisha Ein Rai L'davar. Even though there is no proof to this matter, nevertheless Zeichel L'davar. There is a small hint to it, as it states in the pasuk Eshnei Kitzoysav Achla Ha'esh V'Teichay Nachar Hayitzlach L'Malacha. That if the fire is caught on both sides of the log, then it is clear that the depth of this log is also gone, and it is no longer able to be used for amalacha. And therefore, you could learn from this pasuk that all you need is Rav Hekefai, because it says, Eshnei Kitzoysev, the two ends of it, it's Achla, Hayitzlach L'Malacha, are you going to be able to use it for Malacha? So,
isn't Rabbi Chia, like, after Rabbi
Yehuda Ben-Maseir? Was Rabbi Chia after Rabbi Yehuda Ben-Maseir? Definitely.
How
can he argue? No, Rabbi Chia has the status, he does have the status of a Tana. But he's allowed to argue. Even Rav can argue on a Tana. Rabbi Chia was Rav's uncle. And Rav, we say, has the rights to argue on a Tana. But you're right, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir was an earlier Tana. And it's funny, though, because it sounds like Rabbi Chia is doing the talking here. And then he brings down a proof from a pasuk, like Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir. Okay. The pasuk says, and this is just, it has nothing to do with what we were talking about, it's just that it's talking about wood burning. So it says that the ha'och lefanov mivoy ores, the pasuk is talking about the pasuk is talking about where there was a king. Maybe Michael can help out here, where he was burning, where they burnt the Megillas Eicha. It was Yirmiyah burning the Megillas Eicha. Yirmiyah brought him Megillas Eicha, and he burnt it.
Yehoyakim,
okay, fine. Yehoyakim burnt Megillas Eicha, as it states, V'ha'ach lefanav mivoyares, and the Gemara says, what is ach? My ach. So Amar Rav is achvana. Achvana is a type of tree, and the Shmuel Amar Eitzim Shenidlaku BaAchva. It means it was fire. It was wood that were kindling from each other. So this is the small little kindle wood that you make in order to light a larger fire on fire. Says the Gemara, Ahu Da Amar Lahu Mayan Boy Achvana. There was a person who was selling. You went into the store, and the guy was Achvana wants Achvana. It's like if you ever go into to a ball game, you hear a guy yelling out hot dogs. So if you don't know what a hot dog is, you can go and see what he's selling. Or I never knew what this was, but in Eretz Yisrael, we were somewhere and they were yelling begalacham, and I never knew what that was, begalacham. And then I was walking to the kaisel once and I heard some Arab screaming out begalacham. So I was like, what is he selling? And then I saw he was selling bread. So apparently it's bagel cham, hot bagels. So that's what happened. So I thought of this Gemara, because they didn't know what achvana was. And they heard this guy screaming, who wants achvana? Who wants man by achvana? Who wants achvana? Who wants achvana? The Gemara says, ishtakach aravta, that they were selling this type of tree. So the first man, the Omar, who Omar Rav was found to be correct. Because they found that achvana was indeed a type of tree, this arava tree. Okay, Amar Rav Huna, kanim ein tzrichin rov. If you go ahead and if you're lighting reeds on Erev Shabbos, like we said, you have to have rov of the fire burning before Shabbos, but if a person is lighting reeds on Erev Shabbos, something that is very flammable, you do not have to wait for it rov to become rov burned, because the very fact that once fire starts with it, it's going to transfer throughout the entire pile. Agodon, but if it's a big pile, a thick pile of reeds, so then you do tzrichin rov, you do need rov, because then lav davka will catch on. Garinin, if a person is lighting pits, date pits and things like that, also ain't tzrichin rov. Apparently, they're also flammable. However, nesanon bechoslis, but if you put them in a big, barrel of date pits, then tzrichin rov, you will need rov. Maskeflor of Chista, Rav Chista says, adraba, ibcha mistavra, kanim, by kanim, if it's not tied up, mevadadon, then they will split from each other, and lav dafka, they'll get caught up. Agadon, if you tie them together, lo mevadadon. And but if you once time together, they're not going to separate from each other. And therefore, there's less of a reason for you to need Rav. And the same thing with Garinin. Mivadadan, if you just have one or two pits here and there, so then one being lit on fire will not help the next one. And there should be a concern that you might light one from the other. So you should need Rav of each one. And the son of Bechayislais, and once you put them in... once you put them in chayislais, if you put them in buckets, lemevadran, they're not going to get split up. So the Gemara says, Itmar, it was stated that like this new mahalach, that Amara of Kahana, Kanim Sha'agadon, if they're tied together, Kanim Sha'agadon, if they're tied together, Tzrichin Rav. You do need to have it Rav, Loyagadon, if it wasn't tied together, Ein Tzrichin Rav. Yeah, so like this new mahalach. And same thing with Garinin, Tzrichin Rav. However, Nisan and Bechayilis, at that point, Ein Tzrichin Rav, like this new kasha. Tani Rabbi Yosef says, Arba Maduras, there are four types of flames, of fires, that Ein Tzrichin Rav, that they're so flammable that they don't need a Rav. Shel Zephes, which is Sultar, Vishel Gufres, Sulfur, Vishel Gvina, cheese. Okay. Vishel Ravav. And Ravav is like fats. So I understand fats, and I guess I understand tar, because like once you get that burning, it's burning. I'm not sure I understand cheese. I don't know, you ever took cheese away from your kids because they're like, hey, buddy, don't play with the cheese. I never had that. Even a pyromaniac will go ahead and light up cheese. 1 second, I'm looking at the gimel here. I'm looking at this gimel here. Okay, so they change it to, the going changes it to Kira, which is wax. Let's go with the going.
Down in the notes also, the riff, in the riff text, the word Kira wax appears. And
so let's go with that. But Masni Satana Afshel Kash Vishel Gvava, in the Mishnah it was taught even of straw, and Gvava is the... is the leftover, is also a type of straw, two different types of straws, leftover straw that comes in from the field. Amar b'yechinan eitzim shel bavel ein tzrichin roev, the wood that comes from bavel does not read roev. Maskev l'ar aveir sef maihi, what type of wood is that? Ile mesilti, if you say that it's logs. Hashta b'psila, amar ula shem madlik tzorach sheyadlik b'roev. Now, if you're telling me that even a wick coming out of a candle you need to light, have roev, so that you have to light most of the wick that's protruding from the candle. So then silty, then regular wood, me boy. Why should that be any different?
I heard silty is twitch.
That is correct. Rashi says la'achash asum eitzim dakim. 1 second. It's not twigs. It's like if you take a log and you chop it up into small pieces. It's not sawdust, but it's like, you know, sometimes you have on the bottom of your playground, like wood chips. So if you have to light even a psila, so then silty, we'll call it wood chips, me boy. Who said twigs? You have a gemara that says twigs? It's not a twig. It's this wood chips. Elam of Yosef, shoycha da arza. You know what it is? It's not wood chips. Wood chips, indeed, you do need rave. But over here, we are talking about the shoycha da arza, which is a branch of the Erez tree, which Rashi says is dry and thin. And it's like the wool between the bark and the actual wood. And apparently it is very, apparently if you peel a tree, you will find this layer of wool-like material, which is very flammable and does not require rave for lighting on an Erev Shabbos. And Rami Bar Abba says that it is a za'aza, which is a dried piece of wood. Rashi says mulsha, and... Rashi said, the person on the side I have in my Gemara here, Hagoyes Vitzunim, says it's some sort of growth that grows on the side of rocks and things like that. So it's like moss.
That's how Art Scroll has it, is moss.
Moss, okay. Okay, excellent. Hadron Elochitzis HaShabbos. We have completed our first Perek in Shabbos. One down, 23 to go. But don't be scared, because most of the next Prakim are not half as long as what we have here. All right, the next Perek is a famous Perek for Ashkenazim, and that is because we have Bameh Madlikin. Bameh Madlikin, Ubameh Ein Madlikin. What are you Bima, which is really, with what are you able to light? With what material are you able to light with on Erev Shabbos? Are you able to light your candles with in order to make a wick? And Ubama Ein Madlikin. And what are you not allowed to light your candles with? And the reason why you would not be allowed to light your candles with is because these are not good material. And the concern is that since it's not good material, you may go ahead and try to help it out on Erev Shabbos, obviously violating Shabbos in that regard. That would be, so therefore, we want you to use only material that would light easily, and this way you would be able to. And this way, we're not concerned that you'll be Mechalel Shabbos. So what material are you allowed to make a wick out of, and what material and oil out of, we'll see, and what material are you not allowed to make a wick and oil out of? So the Gemara says, Ein Madlikin, you are not allowed to light a fire with, and the Gemara is going to go through all these items, so we'll wait for the Gemara. And now, that was those were the wicks. And now the Mishnah starts and lists the fuel. Again, we're going to go through all of these things. Which is the fats of a tail. Again, we're going to go through this. Nachum Hamadi Omer Madlikin Bechelev Mevushal. Nachum Hamadi says you're able to light with Chelev Mevushal. Chama Omer Echad Mevushal Vechad Shein Mevushal Ein Madlikin Bay. Whether, again, we will discuss all these things in the Gemara. Just a famous question. Veloy Bechelev Nachum. So, famously, there was a person who misread Parshas Bishalach. Vayhi Bishalach Paroi Veloy Nachum. So he asked his rabbi. It says when Bishalach sent out Klal Yisrael, and V'loy Nochem Elokim is the real thing, but the person misread it, and he's like, V'loy Nochem, but hey, Nochem didn't go. So the guy asked his rabbi, what's the pshat that Nochem didn't go? So he said, you know what? You help me explain this Mishnah. I always had a question on this Mishnah. It says, V'loy B'chelev Nochem, and not with Chelev Nochem. Nochem's Chelev, you can't. Why can't? Well, what's wrong with Nochem's Chelev? Terry says, because he didn't go out of Mitzrayim. Okay. I think we said this joke over last time, Daf Yemi also. And, okay, that's the extent of the jokes for 6 o'clock in the morning. Okay, so now, the Gemara goes through... I apologize for the joke. It was that bad. The Gemara goes through what each of these things are. So what is lechesh? The first thing on the list of things you're not allowed to make a wick out of is lechesh. What is lechesh? The Gemara says it is shoycha da arza. It is... is this wood of the cedar tree? Says the Gemara Sheikha, it's the bark of, it's the branch of a cedar tree. Says the Gemara Sheikha, the arza eitz ba'amahu. That's wood. A wood can't be a wick anyways. The Gemara says ba'armanisa de izbe. It means like we just finished off the last parak. It's the wool. There's some sort of woolen material. If you open a tree, there's some sort of like woolly material there, that is directly under the bark. And it, technically, you could make a wick out of it. Technically, you're able to roll it up and make a wick out of it. However, the Mishnah says you cannot make a wick out of it. Again, either because we'll see it doesn't drop the oil well, or the flame jumps on it, or maybe it doesn't act as a good wick. It's possible to make out a wick out of it, but it doesn't act as a good wick, and therefore you should not use it. The next thing in the Mishnah was v'loy b'chosen. You cannot use a chosen. Rabbi Yosef said, "Amar Rabbi Yosef, that is ne'oros shel pishtan. This is the pieces of the flax plant." Amar le'abaya v'haksiv v'haya chosen le'ne'oros. You're telling me chosen is ne'oros. But it says in the pasuk that your lechosin will be na'aris. So it's mashma that chosin is not na'aris. So the Gemara, and that's the Gemara in brackets, says Mechal Dechosin Levener. So the Gemara says, Ela Amarabaye, Kitana Dedayek Velinafetz. It is Kitana, which is like cotton, but it is this flax plant, Dedayek, which has been beaten, Velinafetz, but not yet combed. Okay? So at that stage, again, technically you can make a wick out of it, but since it has not yet been combed, it will not draw up the oil properly. The third thing in the Mishnah was Veloy Bechalach. What is that? Amar Shmuel She'eltinu L'chol Nechusa Yama. I asked all the seafarers, the one who are in, you know, involved in business, the Amrili, and they told me it is Kulcha Shmei. It is a something that is called Kulcha. Okay, that's what it is. Okay, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Ziri Amar. It is Gushkara, which is, Rashi explains, it is the bad parts of silk. And it is the place where a cocoon, the place where these bugs make their home. So it's like some sort of cocoon that they make out of silk. And you make some sort of clothing out of it, like silk ties. However, out of the silk, you cannot make a you cannot make a wick. The first one of kulcha, I'm not sure exactly if it's just a random substance that we're not going to know what it is. But okay, one second.
Art scroll, they say it's a woolly substance found on the stones in the sea.
Uh-huh.
And it's identified with some Kizaros blossom.
Do they explain who they're coming from?
That's Shinos Eliyahu.
Okay, fine. That's the goin. Okay. All right. We'll take the goin's word for it. Continuing on. Rav and Rabbaya have yosvi kameh deravna nechemya achua dereish kaluso. Rav and Rabbaya were sitting in front of this person named Ravna Nechemya, who is the brother of the Reish Kaluso. So he's obviously an important person. Chazit avi lovish. They saw that he was wearing a mitachsa, a garment that is made out of, Rashi says, this silk. He was wearing a silken garment. He was in high society. Amalei Ravin Labaya, Ravin said to Abaya, Hainu klach datnan. This is the klach that is in our Mishnah. This silk is the klach that's in the Mishnah. Amalei Anan, Shira Parnada Karinabe. We call that in our tongue, Shira Parnada. Okay. May say questions to the Gemara. Hashiroim. If you have a cloak made out of silks, these silks, v'hakalach v'hasurikin chayavin betzitzis, they are required chayavin betzitzis. Al kaponim et rabbanon. But the point is that how can you tell me that shiroin, which is what he was wearing, and kalach are the same thing? If the Mishnah lists them as two separate entries in those that are chayavin betzitzis, tiyufta. So the Gemara says, indeed, it's not that. Ibayis Ema, alternatively, I'll tell you that Shira is Luchud and Shira Parnada is Luchud. Abaya tells us that Shira Parnada is the right translation. So the Gemara says, fine, that's Shira Parnada. There's Shiroin. There's Shiroin. There's Shira Parnada, which is the same thing as Kalach. Okay, says the Gemara, Veloy B'Psilas Ha'idon. Not with the Psilas Ha'idon. That was the next thing in the Mishnah. What is that? That is Ach Vina, which is the same type of wool that grew in the cedar trees, except this is wool that grows in the Arava tree. Rav and Rabbi again, have a Ka'azli Bapaksa. They were going in the valleys of the Tamrurisa. Okay? Chazinu Lahanahu Arvasa, they saw these trees growing, these Arava trees growing, and Amalei Ravan Labaya, Ravan Tadabaya, Hainu Idan Danan. That is the Idan, the tree that Amalei, he ate Ba'amu. What do you mean? That's wood, that's a tree. How can you say that's a wick? So Kalaf, he peeled it off, Va'achvele Armanisa Deveini Beini, and he showed him the wool that existed underneath the bark. The next thing is Veloi Vapilas Hamidbar. What is that? Shavra, which is a long grass, and it is, you're able to make a wick out of it. You're not going to take with the green stuff that's on the water. Mayhi. So if you want to say it is algae. If ruchim mefarchen, even if you dry it up and you bring out some green algae, it's going to just crumble. You can't make a wick out of it. Elamar papa, it's ukamta da arba. It is, it's like this long thing that grows on the side of boats. I think it means like the seaweed. And it's this type of the bottom of the boat. You have these long twigs and things like that. Those, that seaweed over there is what it is. So technically, you're able to make a wick out of it. Tana haisifu alein shall sayar. They added on to the things in the Mishnah. You're not allowed to make a wick out of wool or hair. Tana didan. Why didn't our Tana mention those? Because it's pashat. Semer is michvetz kovetz, because wool burns up and it shrinks up. And sayar echruchim mechacharch. And hair burns up. So semer shrinks up and hair burns up. So you don't have to list it because it's not going to be usable anyways. Now the Gemara, you're not allowed to use Zephas, which we said it switched over to the fuels. Zephas is tar. Zephas hainu zifta is a type of this tar. Vishava, and then there's wax. Is kirusa. This type of kirusa is, Rashi says, it is... Rashi says somewhere that it's the bad part of the wax. Is it the previous berik? Okay. I says it's not standard wax. It's like the bad part of the wax. Kirusa. Okay. Tana adkan psil psilas. Up till now, it was the psilas. We were up till now, the list was talking about the bad wicks. Mikan ve'elach from Zephas and on is psil shamanim, is the bad fuels. Pshita says the Gemara. So, of course, what else? Tar you can't make a wick out of. So the Gemara says, Shava, it's trichale. This last one of tar, of wax, was the chiddush. Because technically, you could fashion some sort of fuel out of it. Some sort of wick out of it. So mahu, the same of the psilas namilichaz, I would think that you can't use it for a psila also. Kamash malan, that no, you're allowed to use it for a psila. Amar Rami bar oven, itrana is psulta de zifta. Itran in the Mishnah is the bad parts of this tar, of the zephas. Shava, it's shava, and shava is the psulta de dovsha, is the bad parts of the honey. That's what I'm remembering. The my nafkamina, what's the nafkamina, is lemekach memkar, with regards to mekach memkar. If somebody promises to sell you something, then they could sell you, this is what they have to give you. If they say they're going to sell you shava or itran, this is what they have to give you. All right, we'll stop over here. Have a great one, Rabbi Yisrael, and a great chodesh. Okay, have a good one. Yeah, so actually I have to run, but so can you call me?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay, fine.